1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul writing to the church at Corinth says, "Let a man so account of us as of ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." What is our reputation? Because we're building a reputation. And people know us. People recognize our faces and our names and they see us. So what is it that they account of us as? What do they say that we are? Whom do they say we are? Remember, Jesus asked the apostles that question. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some think you're John the Baptist reincarnated. And some other prophet, right? They have these imaginations. But what do people think of us? Because we are building a reputation. And our reputation, Paul said, should be of ministers and stewards. That we make a good accounting and a good use of our time and our resources of what God's given us. By the way, what are we going to answer for when we stand before God as believers? That's what we're going to stand for. Have we made a good accounting, a good use of our time and our resources, our energy? And he said, let people look at us, let them see ministers and stewards. Secondly, he says, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. In other words, that there be some evidence. Are we diligent? Are we consistent? Do we live by the word of God? He said, we're stewards of what? The mysteries of God. And what is that? That's what the world doesn't know. How much would you say the world doesn't know about God? Huh? People that don't learn anything, they don't study the word, they don't go to church, they don't listen to preaching or teaching, they don't read the Bible for themselves. They don't know much about God. They know that they're not supposed to use his name in vain. That's about it, and they do it anyway. A lot of things they don't know about God. A lot of things they don't believe about God, but they're true. They dismiss it and say it's not true. So the mysteries of God, the unknown, those things that the world doesn't know, we are the stewards of that because we know it, right? We know the Bible. I open the Bible and I start reading and somebody in here undoubtedly, if not the majority of people say, I know that text. I've read that. I've heard that preached before. Some will come to me, Sister Gladys will come and she'll say, preacher, you preached that. She'll tell me when I preached it. And I told her, I keep up with it too. I know. I put a date by mine too when I use it in as a primary text for preaching. But that's where we are. We need to be in the Word because the world needs it. And so we're the ones bringing that treasure up. And it says it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Verse 3, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you. Paul was pretty sharp with that, wasn't he? He said, now I want you to know my reputation is important to me. But if you criticize me and you judge me, he said, it really doesn't matter. He says we need to have a reputation. It needs to be a good reputation. But don't live or die by other people's opinions of who you are. Don't let that determine where you're going, especially in ministry. Guys, if we were going to let other people determine what we were going to do for Christ, we would have quit a long time ago. Because the world is not in support of what we're doing. Even though we're trying to help them. Yes, it's good for us, but we're trying to help them. The purpose of the church is to help the world find God. That's the only reason we're here. And so we've got to be good stewards of that. But don't be swayed by criticism. Look, he says, I judge not my own self at the end of verse 3. He said, there are some things I make mistakes. He said, I don't even trust my own judgment when it comes to how I'm doing. How many of you are pretty tough on yourselves? You probably think things that other people don't think. You probably criticize yourself more than other people do. And so we drive harder and harder because we think, oh no, they think I'm a bad person or they think I'm not doing enough. They don't see what I... Look, forget about that. Jesus is keeping a record. There's a record in heaven. The Bible tells us there's a record in heaven. So the things that we are doing in service to God and service to others in Jesus Christ, there's a record in heaven. And when we stand before God in judgment, remember we saw that this morning, the books will be opened. And there, he will judge us as stewards of our time and resources. Paul says, I don't even trust my own self. Verse 4, for I know nothing by myself. How can I judge myself? And I don't even know. We have the Bible as a standard. We know what time we have. We know when we're wasting time. We know when we're not living up to our responsibilities. We know when we're doing our best for God. Isn't that what Paul talked about? He said, let us run, not as one that beateth the air. Let us fight, not as one that beateth the air. And let us run the race and not be cast away. Not that people would look at us and say, he's not even trying. He's not even trying. And that, to me, is so important. I'll have people call and I'll say, Pastor, you know, I just don't even deserve to be a member of the church. And they'll start listing things, reasons why. I say, are you trying? I'm trying. I said, that makes all the difference. Guys, there's some people with some terrible things that have them chained down and burdened down and weighed down. But are they trying? And their answer is yes. And that makes the difference. Are we trying? Paul says, I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified? But he that judgeth me is the Lord, verse 4. Only Jesus. But let me say this. He knows everything. He knows everything. You might be able to fool the preacher. Preacher might be able to fool the church. Might be able to fool the deacons. You might be able to fool your wife or fool your husband. You can't fool Jesus. He knows our effort. He knows our thoughts. He knows our motivations. And when we stand before him, he's going to judge us as stewards what we've done. And if we've even tried. If we've given our best. That's the day we're looking at. That's the measurement. That's what we're working for that day. We stand before him and give an account. Verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time till the Lord come. You know, we don't know everything. Sometimes things are not as they appear. We just don't have all the information. And we make a judgment call. How about this? If something doesn't look right to us, number one, we should pray about it. And then if we have questions, we should ask questions. That's all. Just ask questions. Because there may be a story or there may be a lot to it. We don't know. Instead, we like to sit back and just judge. You see what he's been doing. You see how they've been. How about just ask a question? How about pray and ask God, is it any of my business? By the way, let me say this. When we join the church, we make it everybody's business in the church. Because we covenant together. We covenant together and say, look, you keep me accountable, I'll keep you accountable. And I hate to think that sometimes we get to a point like the good old boys club, nobody was accountable. I won't hold you accountable, you don't hold me accountable. I don't know if y'all ever did that in class where you take a quiz and you pass it to the kid next to you or behind you. And if you get in a real good situation, you just switch papers. And you go, hey, I'll give you grace if you give me grace. And that's what happens a lot of times. Well, you know, I'm not doing right, so if you don't judge me, I won't judge you. That's not the standard. The standard is we're to hold one another accountable. But we're also not supposed to judge anything before time. We're supposed to ask questions if we have questions, inquire if we have some conviction about it after prayer. But he says, until the Lord come. Be careful about putting too much confidence or praise in men. Look, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. Guys, that's not a bad thing. That may be a good thing. You know why? Because Jesus told us, don't let the left hand know what the right hand's doing. We ought to be doing lots of things that nobody knows about. We've had people in the church that'll do a good thing. But boy, I better not say anything from the pulpit. I've been told, don't even mention it. If you ever praise me from the pulpit again, I'll never come back. Okay? But there are lots of things that people do that are good things and they're godly things and they're marvelous things. They're hidden things because they don't go around bragging. You know, some people, every time they lead somebody to Jesus, they got to put it on Facebook. They want everybody to see that. Hey, look at me. I'm not talking about missionaries reporting their work. I'm talking about people just trying to say, hey, look at me, I'm doing something. How about we just do it and don't report it? How about we just do the work and keep our nose down and stay busy? But Jesus will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. Okay, but why did you do it? You did it. Why did you do it? Did you do it for some payoff? Did you do it for some benefit? The manifest counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. Our rewards and our praise come from the Lord. Look at verse 6. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure, transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. We put so much confidence in people. Let me assure you of this. Everybody falls short. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory. In fact, the Bible says if you say you have no sin, you call God a liar. And so we all sin. We all have faults. Now look, we shouldn't be baptized in sin. We ought to be trying to do better. We ought to be living disciplined Christian lives. But understand something, everybody can fall. We all have the capacity within us to do evil. And though we are restrained by our faith, especially, we still have the ability. And that ought to scare every one of us. Don't put too much confidence in men. Verse 7, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? If thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory? As if thou hast not received it. Aren't we blessed? Your abilities, didn't God give that to you? Didn't He give it to us for a reason? Didn't He give it to us with an assignment, with a mission attached to it? So then why should we glory? Hey, look what I'm doing. Well, that's what you're supposed to do. Verse 8, now you're full, now you're rich, you've reigned as kings without us. I would to God you did reign, that we might also reign with you. Paul says, look, even in the richest of times, we need to stay humble. Stay humble, remain grounded. Isn't it good to be alive in these times? Isn't it great to have all the luxuries, all the benefits that we have today? We talked about how the country has kind of declined in a sinful direction over the last 50 years. And yet, we've made advances as far as comfort and luxury and medicine, science. We've made a lot of advances. It's good to be alive. Not to mention that if you look at the prophecy being fulfilled in the signs of the times, guys, there's nothing right now restraining God from sending Jesus except His calendar. Everything's set. Wouldn't that be exciting? I mean, we have plans to do stuff, but wouldn't it be exciting if we just went to heaven instead? That would be great. I'd love to do that. Anybody say, I got plans, I can't go to heaven this week? Anybody? Nobody. No, I got no plans that would preempt that. Let's just go to heaven. Verse 9, for I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last. As it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle to the world and to angels and to men. We're fools for Christ's sake. You're wise in Christ. We are weak, but you're strong. You're honorable. We are despised. Even to this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. Now, look at who he is talking about there. In verse number 9, I think that God has set forth us, the apostles. You see, the apostles, and I know people run around calling themselves apostles today. It's not biblically accurate. But biblical apostles serve their purpose in their season. And that's what we're talking about. Paul says, our time is it. It's done. People don't like us. People hate us. There's jealousy against us. He says we're the offscouring. Look at that. The offscouring of all things to this day. He said we're the filth. Nobody wants us. We're from a time that is past. How many of you feel like that? Like outlived our time. Our time, we've already experienced the good days. Paul said our season's ending. You know, the reality is that there's a different group that's arrived now that's pastoring the churches. It's making the decisions, leading the people. Things have changed. New trends, new directions, new methodology. Paul says nobody wants us. Our time has passed. Again, he's talking about apostles. It was a different experience because they had a different purpose. That group of men, 14 men, right? 12 initial. One replaced Judas, and then Paul, an apostle born out of time. 14 apostles. And their job was to be here with Jesus, and of course Paul following Matthias after that, after Judas, but their time was a certain ministry. And it was to get the gospel to explode beyond Israel. And they did that. To Africa, to Asia, to Europe, it went everywhere. Paul traveling in his journeys all over the place, it did that. But Paul says, we're not appreciated anymore. Our ministry served its purpose, and now it's done. And look at what he says. I write, verse 14, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. What's he warning them? The same will be true for each generation. There'll be a time where each one of us is graduated and successors will come along. And will we agree with everything they're doing? Will we agree with their ways? By the way, who's supposed to train them? We are. When we criticize the upcoming generation, just remember, we're the ones raising them. And it's important. I know we can't raise all of them, but trust me, we can't raise all of them. But we got to make sure the ones we are responsible for do the right thing. Paul says, I'm not saying this to shame you, but I warn you, everyone graduates. Everyone leaves this function. At some point, we step off the scene. Someone else takes over. It's one of the most heartbreaking things as a pastor that I've seen. When I have left the last two churches that I pastored to see one close its doors. When it was a thriving church. And the next one just barely hanging on. When it was a thriving church. And I said, God, please just leave me here. Leave me at Capitol Heights. I can't go through that again. Just let me stay, right? Amen. Just let me stay. Now, I mean, that means I got to stay with it, right? I don't want to coast. I don't believe in managing decline. I refuse to do that. We're going to go and we're going to grow. It's distressing for Paul as he says, guys, I'm not shaming you. I'm just telling you, everybody plays out. My boss used to say, everybody has a shelf life, an expiration date. You can only do it so long. Verse 15, Paul says, though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. We need to remember that while the sun will set on our mission, it will not set on the mission until the Lord comes back. The purpose, the function of what God has for us as a church to do, as Christians to do, going back to what we said earlier, we're the ministers, we're the stewards. It's our responsibility. No one else is going to do it. We've got to do it. Because the mission continues. And Paul says, look, you got many teachers. You're going to get opinions from a lot of different people. But Paul says, I'm the one that brought you in. I'm the one that brought you to Jesus. I'm the one that taught you. Stick with me. Stay with me. Follow me. Don't quit. And that was Paul's charge to Corinth, to build a reputation and not be swayed by criticism. I'll tell you, one of the hardest things to face and to overcome is criticism. But how many of you would say we've all earned criticism at some point? So we've got to be able to handle it without quitting. We've got to be able to work through it, to overcome. And by the way, take it for what it's worth. If somebody comes up and says, hey, your zipper's down, you going to check it? Or are you just going to say, oh, you're always saying stuff like that? I'd check it if I were you. If someone comes along and says, you haven't been preaching with the same zeal and the same enthusiasm as you usually do, you go, well, you just criticize, or are you going to take a look at it? You know, and it's great now. We can listen to it online and see, is it bad as they say? We can't let the criticism pull us out. We've got to either apply it or dismiss it. Either say it's got no root, no substance, or, hey, you've got a point. Because we've got a mission. All of us do. We're all part of that. Let's stand. Father, we do love you, and we're so thankful to look back at these times and see where Paul was this morning, to see where Moses was. And we realize that there is a sunset. There is a time which our part of this will be done. We look at the signs and we say it could be a rapture. And yet we cannot know for sure until it happens. And so with our hearts, God, we desire to serve you today and tomorrow, to do your work as you see fit, to make a difference, to leave a legacy, and to equip those who come behind us that they can have an impact on the world. Dismiss us now with your grace and forgive our sins. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.